Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It's Wednesday, the first hour of our program. It must be time for Middays with Mark. That's what we're calling it, right, Congressman?
That's right, Tom. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, it's Middays with Mark Pocan, the U.S. Congressman representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus here in Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives. Pocan.house.gov is the website, and you can tweet him at Rep, R-E-P, as in representative, Rep Mark Pocan. Congressman, and by the way, if you have any questions for Congressman Pocan, our number is 202-808-9925. Lines are open, as they say in the radio business, and he will be taking your calls as soon as we have a brief conversation. So, Congressman, what's at the top of your hit parade today?
Well, I think, you know, getting ready for going back next week, we're in for 12 days in September in which we have to pass a budget by September 30th, debt ceiling either going to be tied to it or immediately following, and a threat from the president that if he doesn't, you know, get the wall, he's going to shut down government. So, you know, that has a huge impact across the board for everyone. So I think that's going to be kind of at front of mind for most members returning.
Yeah. What is the status? Today is the last day. In fact, let me get over to the website. I was just there this morning. If you go to FCC.gov and then click on public comment, and then at the very top of public comment is the public comments, which closed today on restoring internet freedom. It shows 8,570,000 people have posted there. And if you go on and look, they're all, you know, saying, in fact, now it's showing 21.8 million results. So there must be 21.8 million comments here. Your thoughts on all this?
Yeah, you'd think that would be more than satisfactory for them to not go in this direction. But, you know, they're trying to play with a line that, you know, the big providers, AT&T and Verizon and Comcast and a few others, you know, really want to be able to control more around the net. Not only do they want to charge you for internet access, but would also like to charge websites for a fast lane access. What that means are the big companies with lots of money can get access to you quicker rather than that local business that you may buy from that has a web presence. So it's a bad idea, and I think anyone who's not one of the biggest telecom providers should be against it. But, you know, this is Trump's appointments on the FCC, and I think we're concerned at what direction they may go.
Yeah. I find it amazing that the television, the cable TV networks are owned by companies that are suing the government to to end net neutrality. And they're not discussing this topic at all. I'm just maybe they have been today and I missed it. But like I said, today is the last day for comments. This is amazing.
I think if people can comment, I mean, it's a good thing to make sure the more they have, the harder it's going to be for them to come up with a decision that's just in the best interest of the telecommunication companies. So if people can, they should try to do it today.
Now, the Republicans were not enthusiastic about sending money, particularly Texas Republicans, sending money for Hurricane Sandy relief. And as I recall, they weren't all that enthusiastic about even Hurricane Katrina relief after 1,800 people died while George W. Bush was out having cake with John McCain at a birthday party. What's going on with this right now? How do you expect this to play out in Congress?
Well, you know, this is going to be, I think, particularly interesting because when we had Hurricane Sandy relief, Paul Ryan voted against it. 179 Republicans voted against it. I believe everyone in Texas but one Republican voted against it. And, you know, that was a wrong vote for them, right? I mean, we have to, or as a country, we have to, if there's a big disaster, we all have to be there for it. And, you know, it's been interesting to watch Republicans in the Northeast who were affected by Sandy, who voted for Sandy relief, saying, hey, we're going to support Texas because this is what our job as a country is. But then to watch, you know, Ted Cruz and other House Republicans from Texas trying to spin this that there was a bunch of pork and everything else, and, you know, Cruz got three Pinocchios for that. I mean, this is our job. This is why you have government. And, you know, it's going to be interesting if we have people trying to stop assistance going to Texas. And, you know, Speaker Paul Ryan, who's supposed to be the adult, you know, gets credit often for being the adult, was one of the people who voted against Hurricane Sandy relief, and I think that's significant.
Yeah. Today is the day that Trump is supposed to be officially starting to peddle his so-called tax reform. There's a great piece in the New York Times today by Sarah Anderson titled, "It's a Myth That Corporate Tax Cuts Make More Jobs." What is the position of the Congressional Progressive Caucus on this?
Well, you know, we would love to see, if you want to have tax reform, then we'll give you a very, very different direction to go. You know, we think that you should have higher rates on some of those who are making more money. And let's respect those who are working Americans, if you're going to talk about taxes, not just the top 1% and 2%, not just corporations. We already have plenty of loopholes. Corporations can buy a company in Ireland and do a tax inversion and pay nothing, which many of them do. There's already all these loopholes. I think it's going to be enormously hard for them to get anything done because I would say 20% of my meetings, Tom, in Washington are people who have some little niche carved out of a tax break and they want to preserve it, and that makes it harder than healthcare, and we saw how successful they were on that. But we would go in a very, very different direction, making sure that those who have the most can pay a greater share and that we provide real relief to people who are working class Americans and those aspiring to be in the working class.
Yeah. What's, you know, I'm watching with considerable horror both the activities of Scott Pruitt and Ryan Zinke at EPA and Interior, respectively, and the lack of coverage. These guys are aggressively, you know, making it easier and more profitable for big companies to poison our air and our water and our food supply, and open up public lands for drilling and mining and all this kind of stuff. It seems crazy to me. What is there anything that y'all in Congress can do about this?
Well, you know, I go back to probably what I say almost every week is elections have consequences, right? You know, the Republicans are in charge of the House, the Senate, and the White House. They're allowing these actions. It's very, very difficult. It's not just in this area. I was speaking with a bunch of labor leaders this morning talking about all the rule changes that the Obama administration put in place in the last year of their administration that are being turned back from OSHA to union rules to all sorts of things. And yet you don't hear much about those either. You know, unfortunately, whatever the president says in 140 characters will get all the press from the corporate media, and some of these real actions that are affecting people across the country don't get the same attention. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't see Paul Ryan trying to change direction on that because he's so complicit with whatever happens out of the Trump administration. We're going to have a lot to fix when we finally get the House majority back.
Yeah, and let's hope that's a year and a half from now. Congressman Mark Pocan with us, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus. representing the 2nd District of Wisconsin in the House of Representatives. Pocan.house.gov, your opportunity to ask your congressman a question. Middays with Mark.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Or with Congressman Mark Pocan, right after this. Your call is for. And welcome back. Carl in McChesney Park, Illinois. Hey, Carl, what's up?
I was wondering how the Iron Stash is doing in his campaign against Paul Ryan. I understand he's raising a ton of money.
Congressman?
Yeah, Randy Bryce is doing a great job, and I believe watching Rachel Maddow tonight might be something useful for some folks to do, because I understand they had a poll and they may be releasing some results which are very, very positive for Randy Bryce. He's working real hard. He's been handling the issues right, working real hard on things like healthcare and other issues to provide a real contrast. This is a real race. Paul Ryan is in for the election of his lifetime. We have a chance to flip a seat just across where you live in McChesney Park into Wisconsin. And I think people should be watching this race as one of the top races in the country to be really keeping track of.
Gary in Cooperstown, New York, watching Free Speech TV there. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Congressman. I mentioned to the screener that this morning I was watching MSNBC, and an Al Jazeera English reporter, Shahid Ratansi, was talking about climate change and how it affected the situation in Texas. And when he got to talking about the money that was spent, made by the oil company, the denial of the oil companies, and then also that Texas politicians would be held responsible, they cut them off. And I know we talk about this a lot, about the corporate media not covering climate change, but I've got living proof on tape that they did it. We never saw anything else of Shahib and the rest of their reporting. They went to other rescues and other things that would be other shiny objects, if you will. And I just wondered about, is there anything anybody can do other than just not watch MSNBC, but just the hypocrisy of not covering this in the light that it should be.
Sure, Gary. First of all, I think what we've learned is the oil industry has known about this for a long time and selectively chose to do nothing. That information's starting to get out more. But I think any of these Texas Republicans who haven't voted for flood relief for other areas, who still deny climate change as this happens to their own communities and their own state. I think the flood insurance debate that we have coming up also very likely in September, how can you not argue that we're having major climate changes and that they've got to point to something that's doing that? I'm hopeful that, again, people are way ahead of where elected officials are. Elected officials are still kowtowing to the oil and other industries that don't want to admit there's climate change. But we're winning because people understand what's happening, and we just have to replace the people who won't change their ways.
Yeah, seems like a pretty straightforward process. Congressman, we just have 30 seconds till we hit the break. What's your best advice for people who want to change that situation?
Well, I mean, I think, whatever group you think is doing the best job on those issues, I always argue double down with those groups right now. They can magnify your voice, call your representatives, make sure they know where you stand. People are doing that more than ever. But then work with those groups that you believe in on those issues you care about and let them magnify your voice. We're winning on all of these fronts if we keep unified.
Yeah. And I don't even think it's a big if. I think people are really coming together right now. And you're one of the real heroes of the movement. Congressman Mark Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, pocan.house.gov, and website. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us, taking your calls. Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program on this Wednesday first hour. And Deborah in St. Paul, Minnesota, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi. excuse me. I just had an idea. Maybe people thought of this before, but is it possible we could, we all get a Social Security number. Could we all get a voting number so then there isn't a problem with the names, duplicating and maybe that would alleviate that problem.
Well, and Deborah, that is part of what we have a bill right now to say if you're going to purge someone, you have to have their Social Security number to prove that they're not that the two people are the same number, because what they're doing is taking Jose Rodriguez in Florida and Jose Rodriguez in Oklahoma and just purging them because there's two Jose Rodriguez, which is still a fairly common name and not enough to differentiate. Therefore, we're saying you need a middle name, you need a Social Security number. But I think, you know, it does come to this automatic voter registration issue. I mean, how can we make sure that it's not a burden to become, to be able to do your civic duty, which is to vote? And, I think we should have all suggestions on the table, Deborah. And you're right. We all get a Social Security number. I know that some people, I think we need to look at all options to figure out how we can ensure that that is a sacred right, in addition to putting it as part of our Constitution, which Keith Ellison from your area and I are trying to do.
Kevin, in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call, Congressman Pocan. I am concerned about the South Texas nuclear plant. Not only this hurricane visit every one of our major refineries in Houston, Beaumont, Port Arthur, and Lake Charles, but there are three nuclear plants in its path, and with a floodgates forecasting a 45-foot crest in Bay City and a 41-foot retaining wall around the South Texas plant, I'm a little concerned, especially with Rick Perry in charge.
Rick Perry alone in charge of anything should make people worry. But your point is well taken. And again, it goes back to this whole debate around climate change. People who want to ignore the science because there's some special interests that want them to ignore the science. And yet that's a real life ramification. You know, if we have problems with power, with nuclear plants, with just about anything, that's affecting real people. Real people will die, and you can't just continue to ignore it because the oil industry is going to keep practicing in the exact same way. So I think it kind of comes back to that original fight. I think most people, Democrats, Republicans, Independents, understand what climate change is. We have to just force that upon those who are our so-called leaders.
Dave, in Canton, Ohio, you're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan. Dave? Stand serious, XM?
Hello.
Hey, Dave, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'm concerned about President Trump's pardon activities. Is there any way that the Senate or the Congress can pass a bill that limits his powers to pardon?
You know, I'll tell you, I think we may have to. With this president, you have to look at everything differently because he's operating so differently. I mean, I think part of the pardon that happened for the sheriff in Arizona was based on just the president thinking that some of his base are outright racist and he's doing it for them and, quite honestly, for himself. But I think a part of it was a signal to all the people that are being called in on the investigations on Russia that, hey, look, I'll have your backs early and often. You don't even have to ask for it, because they're claiming sheriff didn't even ask for it and all of a sudden got the pardon. I think there's more of a message that came out of that, not just to keep his race baiting that he's been doing over the last several weeks, which has been just awful, but also to send a message that, you know, keep quiet, and if something happens to you, I can take care of you. I've got the power of pardon. I think he enjoys king-like powers as a president.
Yeah. Well, he's always been a CEO, which is functionally a king. I mean,
right.
Corporations are essentially feudal institutions, so maybe he just thinks that's how it's supposed to be. Matt, in Norfolk, Virginia, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. Congressman Pocan, it's an honor to speak with you today. My question is about the budget. I don't know how the budget rules work, but can if he threatens to veto your budget bill if it doesn't include the wall, do you guys have the power to overrule his veto? And if so, is there any sort of plan or steps being made to do so?
Well, I think we're probably a little ahead of ourselves because, first of all, I think many of the Republicans support what he's doing on the wall. There are some, remarkably, on border districts who know it's a bad idea that may not support that. But, you know, if he would veto it, yes, we would have the ability to override. But I think that is many steps yet ahead. And I personally think often when the president says something, it's bravado. It's when he doesn't say it, you got to watch out. like when he did the initial ban on people who are transgender serving in the military. We didn't have advance notice. It just happened in a tweet. I think that's the problem. He often puts these ideas out. He does them in rally settings. He does it for the applause from his adoring fans to cover his narcissism. But I don't know if he'll actually live up to it, one. But more importantly, I think the Republicans likely are to keep funding in for the wall because most of them support that.
Sam in Estes Park, Colorado. Sam, we got a minute to the break. Real quick question for Congressman Pocan.
Yes, impeachment. I called my representatives here in Colorado, Senator Bennett, Gardner, and Congressman Paulus, and I wasn't surprised by Gardner's response about impeachment because he's a Republican. But I was surprised that Bennett and Paulus didn't really seem, well, their staffers, I spoke to staffers, didn't seem that they had any statement of any sort of force or strength on this issue. And I'm just wondering how come it seems to me through them that the Democrats aren't like taking up this rhetorical space on the battlefield like much more passionately.
Yeah, Sam, it's going to be hard in 20 seconds, but let me say this. I think many of our members are talking about it. We say we have every option open, including impeachment. And we also realize that you need a majority, you need a bunch of Republicans to join with us in order to do that. And we're not there yet, but we need to keep the pressure on because so far I've heard a new case for impeachment that I thought was very compelling this week. And I think we need to keep every option open.
We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Mark Pocan in our Middays with Mark Hour here on the Tom Hartman program. First hour Wednesday, Congressman Pocan, the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, a Democrat from Wisconsin, taking your call.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman program. Call 202-808-9925.
For your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. Fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. They have new contests starting every week, so there's no busted seasons. FanDuel has something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Hey, would you like to have Colin Kaepernick on your team? He's on mine. There's a lot of ways to put together and personalize your team, and boy, the games just get better and better. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code TOM, T-H-O-M. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's FanDuel, F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, promo code TOM. Void where prohibited. Welcome back, Tom Hartman here with you. A couple of quick reminders. I have a piece that was published on Alternet a few hours ago. We have to be vigilant about the coming smear project against Antifa. The media is busy creating a left-wing threat to balance the awful racist right-wing hordes who threaten civil society, just an FYI. And also, if you go over to FCC.gov and click on your filings, you'll see that as of today, there have been 21,800,000 people who have weighed in on net neutrality. As of the last 30 days, it's been 8.5 million people. A lot going on there. You might want to get your voice in. Today's the last day to do that. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line with us, taking your calls. It's our Midday with Mark segment. And Bobby in Kaiser, Oregon, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you for taking my call. Congressman, I'm a veteran. I've been using the VA health system for over 20 years. I've had colonoscopies done. They found a polyp. Thank God hasn't turned cancerous yet. So I've had a few colonoscopies done. I get an annual physical every year. I've had a couple surgeries. And they've never billed me or charged me for anything. But since Trump's team has taken office, I've had two doctor visits. And now I've gotten a bill for $50 copayment for each of those visits. Is this something I can expect now, a $50 copayment? And do you know why this started?
I can't tell you why it started. What I can tell you is we're facing a number of attacks that are going to be even greater than what you're mentioning when it comes to the VA system, because there is, I think, a true effort to privatize the system. So we started out with the so-called Choice Act because some people supposedly weren't getting good care. You know, we recognize the system in Arizona had bad management. In Wisconsin, at Toma, we had a problem with the prescription of opiates. But the vast majority of the VA system runs very, very well, and people get great care out of it. In fact, my Tea Party uncle in Colorado, who followed me around at a wedding once, telling me everything that was wrong with the federal government, at the very end said, but leave my VA alone. So we understand that there's the value to it. Our fight right now is just fighting back against these little slippery slope bills to nick away and nick away and nick away, and eventually you won't have a functioning VA system. So keep vigilant and make sure you're reaching out to your representatives in Oregon, Bobby, about these bills, because it's important that we hold the votes tight so that they don't destroy our VA system.
Scott in Xenia, Ohio, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good afternoon. Congressman, thank you for your service to your country, and Tom, thank you for the service you do every day.
My pleasure.
I am petrified of the right using Harvey as a political football. Legislatively, what can you do to keep them from boxing you into a corner when you vote for the relief for it by keeping off things like the wall or like tax breaks for the rich or the typical right wing stuff that they're trying to do legislatively right now?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for your comments, Scott. And you know, we're going to have to be vigilant on whatever they may do to try to put a package together. As you said, you know, we've got to, this is the month we have to keep government open or face a shutdown. And everything from flood insurance could be attached, perhaps the wall, although I think they can still do that through the budget process. I don't think tax breaks would be able to, but you're right to be watching for everything. We're going to have to do that. I mean, it's important that we take care of everyone who's been affected by Harvey. But if they try to politicize that, we have to be able to stand up and have that backbone to make sure we're doing not just the right thing for the people of Texas and Louisiana, but also making sure that they don't pull a fast one on the American people.
Patrick in Seattle. Hey, Patrick, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Tom, and Congressman Pocan, thank you so much for your time and information. I'm calling about the issue of gerrymandering, and it seems like, well, yesterday there was an article in New York Times about the impact of Republican-controlled state houses strengthening their grip on their electability, and I'm just curious what the Democratic Party is doing to offset that, that trend.
Yeah, Patrick, great, great question. I mean, gerrymandering is why we have a Tea Party, or their ability to continue to have power. Gerrymandering is why in Wisconsin we had 100,000 more votes for Democratic candidates for Congress, but they have 5 of the 8 seats in Wisconsin, and it's even worse in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Ohio. You know, gerrymandering is taking away that really one vote per person balance because they're selecting who votes for them rather than the other way around. So luckily, we're seeing Barack Obama and Eric Holder stand up nationally doing a bunch of work around this. It's very, very important work. We've got bills in Congress, but won't become law with a Republican House and a Republican Senate. But we're trying to do everything we can to talk about it. In Wisconsin, there's a major case that's before the Supreme Court right now. We're anxiously waiting for those results. I think in October we should see those. But you pegged it right. Gerrymandering and those state legislatures is so important in the next two election cycles. We have to pay attention to those legislative races because that's where the lines are drawn for both Congress and state legislative seats.
Paul in Denison, Texas. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. And Congressman Pocan, it's an honor to speak with you, sir.
Thank you.
My question today has to do with organized crime, actually. I mean, now that we've elected essentially an organized mob boss as a president and our Justice Department is now being run by this mafia, what steps can Congress begin to take to begin to actually rein in corporate power and put a stop to the monopoly and duopolies that we're seeing in every industry? And it just seems like things are kind of snowballing out of control.
Yeah, Paul, great concerns. And let me answer it in this way. I was heartened to see in the House and Senate Democrats' proposal for a bitter deal they put out there, one of the major focuses that they understood that's important that when we talk about economics, because that is the driving issue that unfortunately I don't think got the attention it needed to in 2016, is the antitrust laws that quite honestly came in under Bill Clinton and have now gone to a really terrible spot where we have consolidation in industries. There's a reason why one major airline was able to drag someone off a plane is because there's only a few major airlines to even choose from. And that's true in big real estate firms, big banking firms, go down the list. And it's those antitrust laws that often on the board of directors within a few industries have the same people on the boards of directors. So all the decisions are made to make sure they're enriched and not in money put back into the company or the employees. So I was heartened to see that was one of the major planks of that better deal proposal. We are working on Mark DeSaulnier from California, Debbie Dingell from Michigan, Don Norcross from New Jersey, and myself, a future of work, wages, and labor project that we're putting out at the end of the month, and that's one of the major parcels of that. There's some good work happening to make sure that's more made more, getting more public attention, and I think that's going to be positive, Paul, because I know people will agree with us on this when they see all the facts about it.
Dave, in Canton, Ohio, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing? I was on a little earlier, and I got cut off, and I was asking about the possibility of limiting Trump's pardon powers.
Well, it's already limited to he cannot pardon against state crimes. I mean, that's the giant loophole that could be used against Trump, isn't it, Congressman?
Yes, and in fact, you know, one of the interesting things that came out of a discussion I had heard in the last 24 hours was, you know, when you look at, for example, the interference with elections that happened, if the Trump administration won't do anything about it, perhaps individual election officials or secretaries of state or whatever the structure is in a given state, one of those 37 or 39 states that were hacked into, they should have a legal recourse and ability to go after it. So I think the president does have somewhat of a limited pardon, but we can be creative and find other ways to make sure that we're still getting to the truth and getting the results we need.
Leslie in Central Square, New York. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello?
Leslie, you're on the air.
Yes, yes. I wanted to talk about a couple of things quick-like here. In 1996, I think it was, Bill Clinton signed a law into law with Newt Gingrich with the Communications Act. I can't name it right now. I assume you guys can.
It's called the Telecommunications Act of 1996, yes.
Yes, exactly. What that did was it took away our freedom of the press. We have no freedom of the press because of that law, okay? And Democrats have never done nothing about it after that, okay? And it's been 25 years or more. No, there's no freedom of the press. You got six conglomerates, and they trade information back and forth all the time and stuff, and I don't believe that's legal either, okay? This is very terrible. This is the stuff that makes America work, you know? And we don't have a free press. We don't.
Well, let's get Congressman Pocan's thoughts on this.
Well, I think, you know, Leslie, I agree that there are some concerns on how the corporate media covers things and doesn't cover things, because trust me, we've often tried as a progressive caucus. We have rallies and press conferences with lots of people, and they never get covered by the corporate media, because if that's not selling detergent during the news hour, it may not get covered. And I think some is explicit. They don't cover things because of who their advertisers are, who their owners are. I'm a journalism major. I still believe there is a good amount of freedom of the press. However, there are certainly challenges out there. And if we have something like the net neutrality law change, I think that's an attack on that freedom of press. And there's other things that could happen as well, especially in an administration that treats the media like they do, trying to demonize them in order to get their agenda done.
Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. 202-808-9925 is our telephone number. You can reach Congressman Pocan. You can check out his website at Pocan, P-O-C-A-N, .house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep Mark, M-A-R-K, Pocan, P-O-C-A-N. And we'll be right back with more of your calls.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Right back in just a second with more of your calls. And welcome back. Rob in Milpitas, California. You are on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan.
Thank you, Tom. And I'm calling about the resolution that was passed this past Sunday at the California Democratic Party Executive Board meeting, which called on the DNC to essentially stop ignoring voter suppression and rigged vote counting machines. As we kind of saw in the Ossoff campaign, no matter what we as Democrats do to get the vote out, the voting counting machines seem to flip the results, because it appears that John Ossoff got two votes for every one vote that Karen Handel got. And I was wondering, Congressman, what can we possibly do to get the DNC to pay attention to the rigged vote counting machines and start turning this around? Because I think we already have enough voters going to the polls. Even, you know, they've got gerrymandering, they've got all the other voter suppression methods. But once we get there, our votes are not being properly counted.
Yeah, so Rob, I think you bring up a really strong point, because one of the concerns that I saw, along with Keith Ellison and Hank Johnson, Keith Ellison from Minnesota, Hank Johnson from Georgia, was the hacking that happened and the fact that they were going after the companies that make our voting machines and going after election officials. So what we did is we introduced a bill called the SAFE Act, and what it does is a couple of things. One, it makes sure that every electronic voting machine has a receipt, so you have a paper receipt. Two, it makes sure there's random auditing afterwards, 5% auditing, so that it's less of incentive for anyone to try to rig an election, because you can get caught during that process. Three, it makes sure that we have the commission that the Republicans originally this year earlier voted to get rid of that has to approve the patches that go through. And four, it puts our entire election system under the nation's critical infrastructure definition, which is what our financial systems and our utilities are under for the utmost protection. We have to do some of those things at a bare minimum to protect that election infrastructure so we have the integrity protected. And there's more things we can do as well, and you brought gerrymandering up and other issues. But on the election machines themselves, let's make sure that they are absolutely – we still have a commission to approve any patches and changes that happen. Let's have a paper ballot. Let's have random audits of those elections.
You know, Ireland tried our electronic voting machines in one election. They not only got rid of them, they refused to sell them as voting machines. They were afraid somebody might actually buy them and use them for that. So they sold them into the scrap metal market based on the weight of them. And, you know, they were crushed and sold by the ton or by the pound. Why should we have any computers, particularly privatized ones, at all in our voting chain?
Well, and I think, yeah, that's a real significant conversation. If we are going to see future attacks, which I think we're going to see, why do we have five companies, including one company that has been explicit supporter of Republican politicians, making machines? Part of our infrastructure maybe should also be that we as a country are going to have that production. There's computerized machines that aren't the touchscreen ones, right? I mean, there's ones where you fill in the Scanatronic, you know, and those, sure. I've done hand recounts. So I don't want to say anything computerized, but I do think, you know, we've got to have that security within any machine that is electronic.
Yeah, I remember in Georgia years ago, this, we had a producer, his on-air name was Zen Pickle, and he lived in Marietta, Georgia, and he went to vote, and this was in a minority area. He went to vote, and he tried to write in a name, and it crashed the machine. He crashed six voting machines in a row, and each one of them, they had to wipe all the memory cards. All the previous votes got lost. Anyhow, we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls here on the Tom Hartman program. Anthony in Watsonville, California. You are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Hartman, for taking my call.
Sure.
Thank you, Congressman Pocan. My question is about voter suppression, and we're always on the defense with the Republican Party. They're always at one step ahead. My thought is, if this Chris cross-check by Chris Kobach goes through, they try to push a bill. Can we have a rider on the bill so if a corporation gets caught doing something illegally, they can't contribute to the Republican Party, like a felon can't vote?
Hmm.
Anthony, I like your thinking. That's an interesting suggestion. Part of the problem right now is it's hard to get anything attached to a bill if it, you know, with a Republican House, Senate, and president. But I really It's an interesting concept because I think many of us have a problem with the idea that a corporation is a person when it comes to campaign contributions, but not when it comes to putting someone in prison. And I like the type of outside-the-box thinking you have.
So any corporation convicted of a felony
cannot
lobby for the next 20 years or something like that, you know, until they've had their parole, their probation. That is a great idea. Sheena in Prairie Grove, Arkansas. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, thank you guys for what you do. Representative, my question, I heard you mention it a week or two ago about a bill, I believe you said it was H.R. 669, that would prevent any president from initiating a first strike only. And I think you said it was sitting in Paul Ryan's office, and I was wondering if there's any movement on that, because that's what terrifies me the most with this president.
Yeah, I don't know the number offhand. I apologize, because there's over 5,000 bills in there. I think the only one I really know is 676 in Medicare for All, because I talk about it just about every day. But on that, I mean, yeah, there's so far no movement that we have on that bill, and I doubt, given Paul Ryan's experience on what he just did to us on the reauthorization for Congress to get involved on declaring war, that he would be very good at helping us out on this one either.
Dave in Somerville, South Carolina. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, good afternoon, sir. Congressman, quick question. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and just about all of my friends who are in unions there voted for Trump. And I still can't figure that out. But is it illegal or legal for you as a representative to attend a union meeting and try to explain to these guys, you know, what they're voting for and how they're, you know, hurting their future by voting Republican?
Yeah, Dave. So first of all, no, it's not illegal. This morning I sat down with about 50 labor leaders in my district. You know, I'm part of IUPAT, the Painters and Allied Trades myself. You know, I think what we found, and I've talked to a number of union leaders who polled their members afterwards, you know, there's a lot of economic frustration out there, and they think that Washington and the system and the elite still run things, and I don't think they're wrong. And they looked at Trump. Many people stayed home, and that's what we saw in Wisconsin. A lot of union people just decided that the Democrats didn't speak to them in the last election, and they still didn't trust Donald Trump. And some went with Donald Trump because he actually gave a very good surface answer on trade. The problem is his details really weren't there, but they've been impacted by trade. So I think our job is to do a much better job in talking on those economic core issues. That includes collective bargaining. We have better wages and better working conditions. People can go home at the end of the day without a risk of dying or being injured at work because of unions. And we need to get that message out, especially with Labor Day coming up on Monday. So I think we need to really get more of a reintroductory lesson about what unions have done throughout history, why we have weekends, why we have a 40-hour work week, et cetera. But no, it's not illegal to go to union meetings, and I would hope more elected officials would do it.
Kerry in Homestead, Florida. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan. Kerry?
Homestead, Florida. Yeah, that's me, Kerry Cox.
Yep, you're on the air.
Mr. Hartman, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. This is my first time.
Thank you.
And I want to thank the congressman for being there with you. It shows bravery, for one thing. That's most important to me. But I'd like to ask the congressman, would he a proposal for a national identification for voting, for voting registration in the national elections, you know, and you can have the duplicate of both of them, I'm sorry, a redundancy at least. So
no, I hear you, Terry. So first of all, let me just say, I mean, I appreciate Tom opening up this opportunity because I consider I'm part of the legislative arm of the resistance. And what I'm trying to do is share what's happening in Washington while you're all contacting your representatives and helping us provide with ideas. We're all on the same team. So this is a great opportunity. And I thank Tom for what he's doing and connecting all of us. You know, I think anything we can do to get to automatic voter registration, it shouldn't be a barrier. It shouldn't be a timeline. We need to get much better on this. That's why I've, along with Keith Ellison, proposed a constitutional amendment to guarantee a right to vote that would do that. I'm open to pretty much anything that would make it easier for people to vote legally, which is the way they're voting.
Okay. Chuck in Winter Park, Maine. We have 90 seconds to the end of the hour, Chuck. A real quick question, please, for Congressman Pocan.
Yes, sir. I'm very concerned about hedge funds. Hedge funds have caused a lot of trouble for us here in a little village in Maine. We had two of them. One bought up all the medical clinics. Another one bought up all the phones. There's a real problem, and I want to see, I don't know if how this figures in the plans, taxation plans, but I certainly have a fear of these hedge.
Okay, let's ask Congressman Pocan his thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, I think around taxation, when it comes to passive income and other things, we do need to have a different conversation because I think there are strong arguments that we should be taxing rates differently on some of that income so that we're getting a fair compensation as everyone else who's making money. You know, my big fear, quite honestly, a little broader, if I can, Chuck, is that they're rolling back Dodd-Frank across the board, and that's going to take us back to the pre-2008 era, and that almost devastated the economy. We can't let that happen, and I think we have to really push back on our elected officials who are doing that and make sure people know we want consumer protections, and we can't let the banksters go back to being banksters.
Do you think they're going to succeed in gutting Dodd-Frank?
They are right now in the House, and if they can get it through the Senate, you know, we got to be careful of those few swing Democrats on what they could possibly accept. But the Republicans are almost unanimous in trying to gut it. You know, to be fair, there's a few things that could be fixed because we haven't been doing our jobs. The bureaucrats might have been a little aggressive on some of the
things. But that's not what they're interested in. Yeah.
No.
Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll be back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Fantasy football fans, the wait is nearly over. Football is back, which means FanDuel is back. FanDuel is fantasy football for everyday fans. They have new contests starting every week, so there's no busted seasons. FanDuel has something for everyone. Lots of contests to choose from, starting at just $1. Just pick a contest, choose your team, and watch your score in real time. Hey, would you like to have Colin Kaepernick on your team? He's on mine. There's a lot of ways to put together and personalize your team, and boy, the games just get better and better. Over 2.5 million players have won a cash prize playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and use my code TOM, T-H-O-M. New users get free entry into the NFL Sunday Million with over $1 million in cash prizes when you make your first deposit on FanDuel. Just visit FanDuel.com and sign up with promo code TOM, T-H-O-M. That's FanDuel, F-A-N-D-U-E-L.com, promo code TOM. Void where prohibited. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you and super happy to have in the studio with me Nina Turner, the president of Our Revolution, the former state senator from Ohio and Bernie 2016 surrogate senator. Welcome back.
Thank you, Tom.
Senator Turner, and it is so nice to have you in the studio and happy birthday.
Thank you so much.
And this is not your birthday. You want to tell us about it?
It is Our Revolution's birthday. 1 year.
365 days today.
Yes, today, when Senator Bernie Sanders launched this revolution, is very similar to what he said on the campaign trail of millions and millions of people get together, right? Get involved.
Yeah.
We can change this country. We can change the government. We can change our future. And by people have done that. They're doing it. So really excited. We have to date over 400 groups right now across the country, 49 states. I want South Dakota to know that we're coming. Don't have a group in South Dakota. If South Dakota's listening, please.
I guarantee you there are people in South Dakota listening.
We need the revolution in South Dakota.
Okay.
And seven of those, though, are in other countries. So
wow.
We have two in Canada. So we are international, worldwide, but two in Canada. We have, I think, two in France. So I want to thank the Democrats abroad for that so very
That's great.
Much, but this is good stuff.
And by the way, Senator Turner can be with us for the whole half hour here. So if you'd like to ask her any questions, feel free to give us a call at 202-808-9925, and we can put you on, and the both of us can talk to you. So in 1 year, what is your sense of how we're doing at 1 year old here, Our Revolution? Not only how Our Revolution is doing, but how the Democratic Party is doing, which is the focus of much of the efforts of Our Revolution, or or maybe not. I mean, correct
well,
me.
Well, we empower the grassroots, and we go into our states and our communities in ways that I don't think any other group does. I mean, just to give an example, Randall Woodfin, young African-American running in Birmingham, Alabama for mayor, mm-hmm. running on a progressive platform, got the endorsement of Our Revolution, just came out of his primary just yesterday, or I'm sorry, Tuesday, over the incumbent.
Wow.
Yes.
That's great.
Over the two-term incumbent.
Wow.
And that came not just by Our Revolution, but he has a wonderful team, but we backed him.
Was this a primary against a corporate Democrat, or was this an election against a Republican?
No, it was a Democrat. It is a Democrat. So this young man is going, you know, to the runoff in October. But I use his election as an example, because here you have young people all over this country, and they're running. One of the things that Senator Sanders asked people to do, get involved in the process. Now, you don't always have to run for office to be involved, but that is one way. And in order for us to change the trajectory of this nation, it's not just going to happen from the White House or from Congress or even the state legislatures. We need school board members, city council members, and by God, we definitely need mayors. So proud of Randall Woodfin. He still has to get to October the 3rd, but that is just one example. We don't just concentrate on the president, the office of the president or the Congress, every single office. We even do state party. Transform the Democratic Party is part of our works. And we have seven progressive chair people across this country. So we're doing the work, progressive candidates, progressive issues, and doing our best to transform the Democratic Party to make it more accountable to the grassroots.
Yeah. And you know, to all of us, absolutely all of us. The People's Platform. Did the People's Platform come out of Our Revolution, or has Our Revolution just embraced it? I don't know the ideology.
Yeah, it did. And we have some partner groups like DFA, Democracy for America, National Nurses United. So we have other groups that are helping us with this. But yes, this was born by coalition, and we have seven bills, and all of those bills have been introduced in the Congress by Democrats.
Right.
All of those bills link in some way to the progressive platform. Remember, we kept hearing the most progressive platform in the history of the country was passed by the Democrats in July. Well, here it is. And so what our focus is to get members of the House of Representatives to sign on to those bills, to affirm that Medicare for All is the way to go, to affirm that $15 an hour minimum wage is important. And I want to go back to the Medicare for All bill, because we know that Congressman John Conyers, he introduced that bill in the House, and Senator Sanders is going to introduce his bill in the Senate. But it really comes from that push and the fact that Democrats just can't. This is not just about resisting Mr. Trump. This is really about having a plan and having a vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's inspirational. People don't vote from their head. They vote from their heart. Now, I believe if you can touch their heart, we can get to their head, but we got to start with their heart first.
Right. And this is the problem of arguing rationally with Trump followers, for example.
Yes.
They've become so tribal, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
This is my guy. This is my tribe kind of thing. And it's just and I think that's constantly being stoked by Fox so-called news and right wing hate radio.
Mm-hmm.
But the pieces of the People's Platform, Medicare for All, yes. College for All, $15 minimum wage, women's health care rights, automatic voter registration, ending private prisons, Wall Street tax, and 100% renewable energy. These are the eight platform points. Do I have these right? How are we doing on these? So the Medicare for All you just mentioned, Bernie's going to be introducing that. This is not something that I think any of us are naive enough to think Republicans are going to embrace, although, you know, I suppose pigs can fly. I don't know. I'd be worried about the apocalypse if Republicans started to embrace that. But
let's hope some will. And maybe some on the local level, even though they couldn't vote for it in the Congress. But wouldn't it be nice, Tom, to have people put aside that label and just come together and do what is right? Last time I checked, Republican folks need some health care, too. Last time I checked.
Well, and a lot of Republicans actually support single payer or Medicare for All. Mm-hmm. If you describe it to them as anything other than Medicare for All or single payer,
take that label off, just explain the concept.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's what the polling says.
Yeah.
Too. Not that polls are not everything, but they're a snapshot in time, and they. Mm-hmm. But this is and the fact that the elders in this country, Medicare for All, Medicare has been working tremendously well. We don't see seniors jumping up saying, go ahead and take my Medicare. It's not working.
Hey, I'm on Medicare. Right? I love it.
Love it. So let's do it for all. Yeah. Let's make sure that people have access to high quality health care. You remember not Teddy Roosevelt, but FDR, President FDR in 1944, I think, when he was rolling out that Economic Bill of Rights, called it. And he talked about decent jobs, decent housing, health care.
Yeah.
You know, let's do it.
There it is right there.
Oh, you have it. Oh, my God. He has it. See, you and I are telling each other, right? 1944, President FDR proposed an Economic Bill of Rights. They were, every American has the right to. Now, think about that.
Right.
He said the right to, not maybe, not kind of half measured, has the right to a job, an adequate wage, and decent living. We didn't plan this, Tom. I want your listeners and viewers to notice. A decent home, medical care. Can I say that one more time? Medical care. Economic protection during sickness, accident, old age, or unemployment, a good education.
And that was 72 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, it's not like, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
There you go.
We did not plan this.
No, but it's true. That's exactly
how. Oh, my God.
This is my little stack of.
This is inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. So that's Medicare, and then the college for all. How's that going? And the fight against college, having college debt. I mean, we've got a trillion dollars
of
college debt out there,
combined,
which is insane.
College debt,
yeah.
And that has an impact on the middle class, and people don't look at it that way.
Yep.
I really want people. I mean, I know we've distilled it down to say free college and university, but I want people to think of it this way, Tom. I want them to think about how in this country, at first, everybody was not didn't have access to education. You had to be wealthy. You had to be male. You had to be white.
Yep.
Let's be honest about it.
Yep.
But over time, we progressed. And so now we have this K-12 model. Needs fixed somewhat, a lot. That's another show. But we need to envision in this 21st century economy a pre-K to 16 model. So this is not necessarily about free. It's about investment.
Right.
So if we can invest $80 billion a year to house people in prison, why can't we make that same, a better commitment on the front end to ensure that our folks in this country are highly educated, especially the millennial generation, the generation after them? They won't be able to compete with their peers across the world unless they're highly skilled and highly educated. It's an investment.
Right. And every other developed country in the world makes this investment.
Yes.
And we learned after, again, going back to FDR, actually, I think it was Harry Truman who did the GI Bill of Rights, the GI Bill. What we learned from that is that for every dollar that we spent educating mostly young men who had come back from the war, but there were some women who also qualified for it, but that for every dollar that we spent educating these people, we made $7 in additional taxes over the course of their lifetimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only an investment in the country, it's an investment, you know, just in a purely cold financial context that ideally a Republican could even understand.
Yes.
You know, wouldn't you want to make an investment where you put $1 in and over the next 30 years you get $7 back? That seems like a good idea.
That's a good return on that investment.
Okay. So, and then the $15 minimum wage, how are we doing with that?
Yeah. So the goal is really to get every Democrat in the House of Representatives to sign on to this bill. So we have, you know, certain sign-ons. People can go to ourrevolution.com and to see whether or not their member signed on, to see exactly where they stand. And we encourage people to call their member of Congress to say to them, come on now.
Yeah, there you go. And if you want to call your member of Congress, it's 202-224-3121. We'll be back in just a moment. Stick around.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Senator Nina Turner with us, the president of Our Revolution, ourrevolution.com. You can tweet her at Nina Turner. Welcome back. Josh in the Dalles, Oregon, watching us on Free Speech TV. You are on the air with me and Nina Turner. Hey, Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Nina. Nice to talk with you. I wanted to ask you about the recent election in Seattle. They created a People's Party. Some of the activists that worked with Shama Sawant,
who's a city council member, independent socialist in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
They supported two other people running for one for city council and another one for mayor. And they've both kind of one of the city council candidate is still in a running, but they both ran against sort of progressive Democrats that were supported heavily by labor, and they've kind of both gotten beat. And the mayoral race is kind of concerning because now it looks like an establishment candidate and sort of a more corporate Democrat are running. They're the two that are going into the general election. The two major progressive candidates beat each other. One was running as a Democrat, the other one running as a People's Party.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also wanted to ask you about, I guess there's a conference or a big event that's happening with Cornel West and Shama Sawant, and they're calling for a draft Bernie push.
In a third-party context.
People's Party.
Yeah, Josh, is that your question? Is, you know, what are your thoughts on this third-party pitch? Is that...
Yeah. Well, if you followed the Seattle race at all, number one, and number two, also this push to get Bernie to create a third party,
okay,
similar to how the Republican
Party. Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you, Josh. Wow. Well, I did not follow that Seattle race quite, you know, real closely.
Me neither, so I can't comment on the accuracy or lack thereof.
I don't know if Josh's point is whether or not he thinks that they canceled each other out and maybe there should have been some more planning and collaboration in those races. But I will say this, this is America, and people have a right to run. We compete for those seats, and the competition is good. It really is. And although if you're the incumbent, I've been an incumbent, mm-hmm, and, you know, you look, you say, I've served well, how dare somebody run against me? That's just your human thought.
Sure.
But anybody running for office, whether they hold the office or they're running for the first time, you got to earn those votes. And that is what makes democracy robust. To the extent that people believe that they deserve these seats or even own these seats, that's when we have a problem in this country. So I applaud folks running for office.
So, but at what does our revolution have any position on whether Bernie should run as a People's Party candidate or some new political party should be created? I always assumed that you were supportive of the Democratic
Party. Yeah, our revolution does not have a position on that. And the senator has said time and time again that he wants to make the Democratic Party better. You know, he went on this unity tour with Chairman Tom Perez and folks saw the energy all across the country and he was there. People really responded. People came out for him because he was involved. But the senator is really trying really hard. Now, he critiques the Democratic Party. He will critique them. He said sometimes that, you know, it seems as though the Democratic Party is on the Titanic, certain people on the Titanic. They don't care if it goes down as long as they got, you know, front row seats. That is a strong critique of a party, though, that he is trying very much to help to change. He knows he can't do it by himself. And that's why our revolution exists, to transform the Democratic Party. But, you know, I'm not, you know, we had about 311 million people in this country, and the fact that we put them all into political parties, we have to think about it.
On April 15th, 1949, Pacifica Radio KPFA 94.1 FM, Berkeley, California, went on the air for the first time, introducing listener-sponsored community radio to America.
And there was a guy named Charles Hutto who actually participated in the massacre years later. Well, he said, I was 19 years old, and I'd always been told to do what the grown-ups told me to do. But now I'll tell my sons to forget about authority, to use their own conscience. I wish somebody had told me that before I went to Vietnam. I didn't know. Now I don't think there should be even a thing called war, because it messes up a person's mind.
Howard Zinn, Virtual Optimism, The Other Side of American History. Did you know that you can get most any of the 50,000 Pacifica broadcasts in our collection? Visit us online at PacificaRadioArchives.org and help support the Archives mission to preserve Pacifica's broadcast legacy.
Welcome to the Million Color Revolution.
Welcome back. Senator Turner, we have callers for you from Oregon, Ohio, New York, Oregon, Washington, and California. Let's pick up some. Okay, here we go. Patrice in Eugene, Oregon, you are on the air with Senator Turner.
Yes, good morning, and thank you for both of you for all you do. I wanted to make the comment when we go round and round and talk about our political responsibilities and our citizenship, and people are often asking you, Tom, what can they do, especially when it comes to how the Republicans are always stealing the elections with their gerrymandering and their vote fraud. And I just feel, having lived on the East Coast and now being a resident here in Oregon, that if people were to petition their legislators to have mail-in voting, we can do away with all the discussion about what lines at the polls and what's rigged. And, you know, I just feel like the Democrats should really come up with a campaign to really drive, you know, that type of action. And I think that it would, the results would be more honest and, you know, wouldn't have all this.
Yeah. Patrice, let's get Senator Turner's thoughts on this. Thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Louise and I lived in Oregon when it was around the time that they introduced mail-in voting.
Mm-hmm.
And they went from being kind of in the middle of the country in terms of voter participation
mm-hmm.
to being one of the top one or two states. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't remember the exact numbers. 68% sticks in my head. But
mm-hmm.
you know, some really large number of people started voting
yes.
once it got real easy. They just mail a ballot to you. There literally are no polling places in Oregon.
Right.
Thoughts?
Ohio has a mix. You still go to the polls, but, you know, to your polling location, but you can mail in, too. I mean, anything that gives more people more access and takes away the barriers, we should push. We should push for automatic voter registration, which is, you know, a pillar in the people's platform. But I think Patrice is on to something. There are some people, though, who still like to go to that polling place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a feeling about it. I'm
yeah.
one of those people,
yeah.
Probably because of my heritage more than anything. But I like to go there and commune with my neighbors and my community. But absolutely, states in this country should do what is necessary to create, enfranchise as many people as we can. And mailing in the ballot is one good way to do that.
There you go. Kenny in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Kenny, you're on the air with Senator Turner.
Hey, thank you both for taking my call. Ms. Turner, one of the questions I have a statement and a question. It seems like the state of Ohio here has given up on state and local candidates here, that we would continue to run people like Ted Strickland for governor, knowing that that don't work. And my question is, if the Democratic Party was seen to fight, why doesn't it fight as hard against the anti-voter legislation? Just like here in Ohio, they decided to scrub the rolls of anyone who didn't vote in two elections. We have to get those voters back. And what is the Democratic Party doing to ensure that these anti-voter registration laws are pushed back and to get those voters back?
Okay, and the senator yeah. has to leave at the bottom of the hour, so we've only got 30 seconds for you to answer.
Wow, that's a deep question. I mean,
yeah.
listen, I know Governor Strickland, he's really a good man. You know, and he ran for that Senate race. And I get it. The Democratic Party can do more. I want to encourage all of us to do more as well. The purge is ridiculous. It's terrible. When we come back, maybe when I come back again, we can talk about the Help America Vote Act.
Mm-hmm.
Some of that purge is linked to that. But people like John Husted has taken it a step further than it needs to go. Democrats should always be in the business of enfranchisement.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
So from the gutting of the VRA.
Right.
To what is happening in states like mine and other states, South Carolina, North Carolina, all across this country, we should always do it, whether it's popular or not, because it really is the foundation of this democracy. One woman, one man, one vote.
Amen. Nina Turner, thanks so
Thank
much for
you,
being
Tom.
Here.
So good to
have you
listening.
In the studio. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have the latest news and information from Wall Street and Main Street, all points in between, plus the best of the rest of the news. And don't forget, democracy begins with you. Get out there, show up, participate, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.